Hello, CKUW listener. This is Scott Price. This week on People of Interest, we are featuring a series on crime, safety, and development in downtown Winnipeg. This is a three-part series. The first interview in this series is with Louise Sambandumwe, who works for Seed Winnipeg and has worked for over 15 years in community economic development projects around the world. Here is Louise Sambandumwe.
You know, it seems that in Winnipeg, we've been frequently having this debate over reality and perception of crime downtown. So I think but the first thing I'm curious to know from you is, how do you perceive downtown Winnipeg when you think of downtown?
Well, I live in Osborne Village, and I walk in the downtown area practically every day. And I just perceive it as one of my neighborhoods where I often spend time.
When you're going to downtown, is there anything that you think differently when you're going, or is it like you said, it's just part of your daily route of walking?
Yeah, it's part of my daily route. And so I just try to change it up once in a while so I don't get bored. I really appreciate aesthetically the Exchange area, so I love walking in that area. I'm not as keen on other parts of downtown because I don't find them as aesthetically attractive. And I also wish that there was more green space in the downtown area.
Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of safety, what is your feelings of safety when you're going through downtown Winnipeg?
I feel just as safe downtown as I do in other areas of the city. I don't own a car, and so I bus and walk it practically everywhere. And so I often find myself walking in lots of different parts of Winnipeg, and I probably in some ways feel safer downtown because there's more people around. I remember once walking down Wellington Crescent because I was going from the Wolseley area to where I live in Osborne Village, and it was pretty late at night. It was around 11, and it was completely deserted, and there were like these really long stretches where there weren't hardly any houses or buildings or people, and I was scared, and I would have much preferred to have been walking downtown at that time of night than in that area.
Now, in talking about reality and perception of crime, what is your take on this? How much do you think of the crime problem is just this perception that downtown is more to do with perception than reality, or how do you view that?
I think generally people have a skewed sense of crime and the danger that they're in. So I would say a lot of it has to do with perception, because if you think about particularly violent crime, it's usually not a stranger, and particularly for women, it's often someone that we know. And that's who we should actually be more concerned about and be taking precautions against, as opposed to some anonymous strangers or walking around. And so I do think people do tend to have a skewed sense of how much in danger they are, and also of what's actually happening with crime rates, because they have been dropping. And I think that would surprise most people, that's the case, that we're not dealing with sort of elevated crime rates, that they're actually declining for the most part.
A lot of people would also say, but yeah, look at crime stat, look at all the assaults and things that happen downtown. So people would say, but there's also, a statistical reality of a lot of crime happening downtown. What would be your response to that?
I think for the most part, as I mentioned before, if you looked at it more carefully, it is people that people know, and so it's not that anonymous stranger violence. And I think the debate around the issue, there's sort of different ways of looking at crime, and whether or not crime is more prevalent in particular areas, and so just keeping in mind what the population density is during the day. It's a busier area. And also the other piece is really thinking about how different areas are policed as well. And so crime rates are very much dependent on the police presence and the extent to which they actually follow through on laying charges. And there's been lots of studies and research in terms of looking at the bias around that. And often there is a racial and a neighborhood bias related to that. And so I think we also need to think about it in those terms as well. And so I wouldn't immediately jump from the crime stats in a particular neighborhood to thinking that there is definitely higher crime rates in comparison to other areas. I think you have to look at it much more carefully than that. And I'm not a criminologist, and I haven't done the research, but I think that most people don't take that second step of really thinking about the other dynamics and looking at the crime stats in context.
Hmm. Yeah, now, we'll get back to the crime stats and the policing thing in a moment, and I think it's a great point that you just raised, but you know, going to this article that appeared in the Spectator Tribune online called Winnipeg's Most Perpetuated Myth, Downtown is Dangerous, the point was that the fears are mostly due to racism, you know, mm-hmm. of people being uncomfortable with seeing poor and intoxicated Aboriginal people downtown, or just poor people. Do you agree with that kind of argument?
I think that racism can play a role. There's also just people being outside of their comfort zone and not knowing how to interpret what's happening. And so when someone is approached by, say, a panhandler, that can be very threatening for some folks. And so a part of it also has to do with familiarity and knowing that that's not a particularly threatening situation. And for me, it's pretty routine, and I think it's really important to make eye contact the way that you would with any other human being, you know, say hi to the person, engage in conversation, if that makes sense, and just be on your way. Like, it's just another human interaction. But if someone isn't particularly used to it and has made all sorts of assumptions about what that means, I can see how that could be threatening. But I think it's also pretty easy to get past that with becoming more familiar. I think the other piece that the article doesn't really talk about, which is probably the main issue that I run into as a woman who does a lot of walking on my own, is being harassed by men. And that happens a lot. But it just doesn't happen in the downtown area. It happens on Grand Beach. It happens at the Y. It happens in lots of places. And that, I would say, is probably one of the biggest nuisance factors for me in terms of walking around in the downtown area and other areas.
So you mean like catcalling kind of stuff?
Yeah, or just being approached and being asked, you know, where I live, being asked for my phone number, that sort of thing, and not necessarily being respectful when I indicate that I'm not interested.
Hmm. And I'm just curious, so is this like daily occurrence that kind of stuff happens?
No, and fortunately, as I've gotten older, it's become less so. That's great. But it's not an unusual dynamic. There's actually my sister. she also, when she lived in Winnipeg, used to do quite a lot of walking, particularly in the downtown area. And she actually got approached, I think, three or four times in one day. And the last time someone approached her and they asked her what her name was, she gave them my name because her interpretation is that I can handle that sort of situation a lot better than she can, and people mix us up all the time. So she was just like, yeah, my name's Louise. So we've had a running battle about this ever since, because I don't think she adequately apologized for that. So it can happen fairly frequently. Mm. At one point, my mom, my sister, and I, we were all approached by the same man within the space of about a month or two, because we were comparing notes around being harassed in that way. And it turned out that it was the same guy. So all three of us had been approached by the same guy.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Wow. Wow, yeah. He gets around. Jeez,
he does get around.
Whoever that dude is, geez.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and every once in a while, I do see him. approaching women as usual.
Now that's an interesting an interesting point to bring up. And you know, there was just recently a study that was done by Hollaback, mm-hmm. Winnipeg, right? Mm-hmm. And they talked about this, the frequency, yeah. of this, and now, yeah.
And that it is an international phenomenon. So when, mm-hmm. I've traveled on my own in India and other places, like I have experienced what that study described, which is like people essentially assaulting you and touching you when you don't want to be. In Saskatoon, I was followed for blocks and blocks on a couple of occasions when I was walking.
Wow.
Yeah, so that can be quite frightening.
Yeah, now it's interesting, though, that is not the immediate thing when you talk about safety, because, you know, I mean, personally, I've never been, as a male, been harassed by, you know, a woman wanting my number or even another man or anything like, mm-hmm. that. But my girlfriend, who's downtown, sometimes either last couple summers working or doing whatever, mm-hmm. Or even just walking around, even, mm-hmm. and around the suburban neighborhood, she, mm-hmm. always has these stories of like, oh yeah, today some guy in a delivery truck,
yeah.
honked at me,
oh, yeah.
and like,
yeah.
winked and like at me, yeah. and stuff like that, and. Yeah. licked his lips at me and was like,
yeah.
you know, and she's like, you know, this is, and it happens again and again, but it's interesting, yeah. that it's not put into this overall discussion of safety, of feelings of safety and perceptions,
yeah.
right?
Because I think for women, it's almost like a normal part of life, like, and it shouldn't be, like, we shouldn't have to contend with that, and have to figure out strategies for dealing with that. But the more you are walking on your own as a woman in the public sphere, the more likely you are to run into that kind of a situation. Mm. But it's almost, and it's you know, like, I've done a fair amount of traveling, and it is prevalent, and more pronounced in some places than others, but it is something that is everywhere. Where the scope of space that women can have can be limited depending on your ability to tolerate that, and I don't think anyone should have to, actually.
No, absolutely, no one should have to tolerate that. Now, in going back to what you had talked about, police, and then also how the police presence affects crime and crime rates and things like that. But a common reaction to this debate on crime, especially downtown, is, well, more cops downtown,
mm-hmm.
Which is, it seems assumed it's that it would help both the reality and the perception, mm-hmm. thing of downtown, crime,
yeah.
downtown. Now, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, that's not the place that I immediately go to. I think what I would like to see, and as someone that does community economic development work, I think that I would really like to see us get at the root causes and some of the issues that link in with crime. And so poverty being really key, and poverty is linked to race, it's linked to gender, it's linked to a whole bunch of other factors. And for us as a society to make a commitment to trying to address that in a substantial way. I think that will, in addition to having an impact on crime, I think it is also just about building a type of society where everybody, regardless of where you're born and who your parents were and what their economic status was, that we all have an opportunity to become and pursue our dreams and pursue the best of who we are, as opposed to being trapped.
Now, just maybe brainstorming a bit, what is one thing as far as community economic development piece that you would like to see that would help downtown or help this problem? Is there one little thing that you would like to see, or a big thing you would like to see?
I would like to see quality jobs for local inner city residents. And so I think there's lots of agencies that are working on that. And so being supported in being able to do that, I think, would be really important. And then I think the other thing that I'd really love to see is a real concerted effort to ensure that every kid has the opportunity to graduate. Like the statistics, when you look at it in terms of who's at risk of not graduating, there's certain risk factors that are at play, like having coming from a home where someone in your household was on social assistance, or having a teenage mother, or being put into care. So if those risk factors are in place, your chances of graduating drop to something like 10% from high school. It's shocking. And those are things that are completely out of the control of the individual. So I think as a society, we really need to take a hard look at that and try and figure out a way to ensure that every kid has a chance and that they're more likely to graduate from high school and go on to university than ending up in jail, because the opportunities that were available to them have been are basically non-existent.
Mm-hmm. Well, Louise, well, thank you very much for kind of coming on and giving some of your thoughts and stories about you know, crime and safety in downtown, as well as also a good segment on development downtown. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.